It's What's New from WBAA Classical. I'm John Clare. Named after King's College in Cambridge, the King Singers is a vocal sextet formed in 1968. There have been 24 members of the King Singers since the original group was established, and the average length of tenure is around 12 years. They sing all genres of music, a cappella, and with guest instrumentalists. We'll hear the King Singers in a wide range of music and talk with their bass singer, Johnny Howard, on today's What's New. Coming up, oboist Albrecht Meyer joins the King Singers in Hansel and Gretel. But first, one of the most famous songs from the sextet. Here's You Are the New Day by John David. The King Singers perform on What's New.
You are the new day. You are the new day. I will love you more than I've been taught for me.
John David's You Are the New Day on What's New. We heard the King Singers on a Signum release. I spoke with bass Johnny Howard of the King Singers.
There are people who love being teachers. And the King Singers have them within their number. That's not me. I love to see people loving music. You know, I love to see people loving singing, to feel the same joy that I feel when I perform. And if one of the ways of doing that is to impart some of the sneaky things that we do as King Singers that help us to make music as we do, then I'm so happy to do that. Do I totally get a thrill out of saying, well, this is a D and this is an E and this is an F sharp? Not necessarily, but do I love seeing it when things click into place and see people get that same kind of excitement when a chord's perfectly in tune? Absolutely. So there's... Being here is a real joy because you are surrounded by people who just want to, even if they're brilliant, they'd want to get better. And that's all of us. All of us are ambitious to be the best versions of ourselves professionally, personally, in every way. And to be surrounded by people who want that. And particularly people then in wanting that look up to the group you're in is quite special. So these weeks are amazing. And being, surrounded by folk who are invested in the education as much as we are is great.
Would you tell me a little bit about working with different versions of the same songs and recording them?
Yeah, well, I think it's quite interesting. The Great American Songbook disc, which is what you're talking about, we did two versions of it. One, all the arrangements were new. They were written for that disc. And the first CD, which is a cappella, we did one by one in a studio, which is very rare for us. Usually we record everything with everyone together and it's sort of done as live recordings. And we thought, no, we're going to do this slightly differently so we have absolute control. It was kind of a nod to kind of really, really modern a cappella music making. And it was interesting. I don't know if I enjoyed the process as much because for me, the joy of the King Singers is making sounds live and then kind of, you know, saving those in perpetuity in recordings. But the arrangements are amazing and they worked because we recorded them so forensically. When we recorded them with orchestra, it was totally different because we did them live and we did them over 2 days in South Denmark. It was the South Jutland Symphony Orchestra and we had an absolutely amazing time. Sonneberg is the name of the city and it was glorious and it's right on the water and we were fed very, very well, for instance. They're great fish. And but it's obviously a very different thing performing live with orchestra. And I mean, I love the variety. And I love the fact that they do sound like two totally different products. You know, like it's not like we just plopped one thing on top of the other. Like we did them in two totally different ways. And that's really, really cool.
Johnny Howard speaking on What's New. From their release, The Great American Songbook, we'll hear different versions of the same song. This is Begin the Beguine and It's De Lovely with the King Singers a cappella and then with the South Jutland Symphony on What's New.
Yes, it's still lovely. Yes, it's still lovely.
De Lovely. And before that, Begin the Beguine by Cole Porter on What's New. We heard the King Singers and the South Jutland Symphony perform. You can find out more on facebook.com/whatsnewwbaa, including playlists and podcasts. Tell me a little bit about the conversations you guys have about putting programs together and recordings.
There's so much amazing music in our library. I mean, there's like 3,000 pieces. And you can't do all of them at the same time. And I think naturally within a group of our lifespan, each piece has a natural life cycle. And that was not to say that it could only happen once. But pieces come in repertoire and then they go out. And then they come in and they go out. And I think for the health of that piece and for the health of the ensemble, it's good not to have certain things to stay in all the time, because then you get bored of them and then you wouldn't find the joy in them that you should. What we are always doing is trying to work out how can we celebrate the past and at the same time look forward to the future and celebrate the present. And to do that requires a real focus on what's in the library and what you may have overlooked. And all the time we're trying to come up with new programs to sell at some point, whether it's now or in the future. And right now we've been looking at music for programs in 2019. And you see some of these extraordinary commissions written by some of the great composers, you know, of the last 100 years, Luciano Berio, Richard Rodney Bennett, Krzysztof Penderecki, all these people who have written amazing original works for the King Singers, and they've been buried slightly. And it's fun to go back and think, oh goodness, this can speak as loudly as it did then, right now. Why are we not doing it? And what's almost helpful is actually with when a new member comes to the group, or when the group does have a moment of regeneration, people look at the library. We've got a spreadsheet in Excel, and people look at the library with fresh eyes, and they say, I wonder what that's like. And if you've looked at it for a long time, for a number of years, you start to overlook the pieces that you've always overlooked. You know, and people come in and they say, why are we not doing this? You think, oh, well, I don't know. Why aren't we doing it? And so that's quite exciting. I mean, the for a group that does as many concerts as we do, the turnover's been pretty low. I mean, there have been 26 King Singers ever in 50 years, or 49 years, and including the current six. And as such, there is a continuity of sound and of mindset, but actually there have been quite a few changes in the last 8 years. Within the last 8 years, five of the members have changed. And that was necessary because some people stayed for a very long time and then they left in quick succession. But it's also interesting because you have a new generation of King Singers, but it feels very much like a generation. And so you've got a group that really wants to kind of embody what's gone before, but also wants to have its own identity and be remembered as that vintage of King Singers. And so that's exciting to me as someone who's part of it. You know, what can I do to have left the King Singers in a better place than where it was when I came? And that's cool.
I'm curious, are there any, again, I've heard ensembles, sometimes someone will see who can get there the cheapest, or someone will see, you know, oh, I want to, you know, see if I can change everyone's shoes or whatever, you know, any pranks or any behind the scenes sort of rituals that happen? Do you guys, you know, the classic example is that Glenn Gould would what they say, while he was performing still on stage live, that, you know, he would wash his hands in very warm water before he'd go out and play. Do you guys have any rituals or any pranks that you'd share?
Oh my goodness, what happens? I think that it's really weird that there are certain people who really need to do certain things. Something which would be weird, I suppose, but makes sense for singers, is that people what people eat before a show or what they don't eat is like vastly different. So some people like to go on stage feeling totally full because they can't concentrate when they're hungry and they want to be able to concentrate on stage. I'm in totally the other camp and I hate eating before I go on stage because the idea of feeling languid and kind of stodgy when I'm on stage is really not my bag. So you end up going to certain places. And particularly here in the States, there's one concert which we do most, I mean, probably every other year. It's part of a series in Kansas City. And every time we go, they have, I think, the world's best guacamole. I mean, it's a big claim, but the world's best guacamole and chips backstage. And I'm an absolute sucker for guacamole. And I sit there and I think, well, I'm not going to forego this. And I walk on stage kind of like so kind of like, yeah, heavy, kind of, you know, languishing. And I think, no, what did I do that for? And other people, you know, they can eat like pounds and pounds of food and they're absolutely fine. The one thing I think people will find weird is the different degrees to which we warm up. Because the rehearsal happens every day, but before we sing. So we rehearse for 2 hours a day. And some people will warm up before that and other people won't warm up at all. And some people will warm up again before the concert and others won't at all. And the idea is that for some people, kind of, we do enough singing in a day that you don't want to spend more time using the voice, even if it's for the sake of warming up, than we already do. And for other people, the idea of not warming up means that they're kind of breaking the ritual and they can possibly go on stage and do a concert. That's kind of weird, because you'd think that, okay, so you're singers, you warm up. It's like, we do, but not in the conventional way. You know, that's something which is quite weird. Pranks? Can I say? Probably not. Probably not. But suffice it to say, there are events which occasionally happen with kind of items of clothing in changing rooms that are funny for everyone but the person who's at the receiving end.
Of course. Don't want to bring out anything. Well, there've been some very interesting recordings and I wanted to ask about two. One is some American class standards that are quite lovely. And I think it was very interesting to have the vocal only version. And then the second disc has this wonderful orchestration and band with it. And I wanted to ask about that. And there was another one, and I'm not sure, I'm embarrassed to say, I'm not sure if you're on it. I don't know, but there's a jazz version of the Christmas Oratorio of Bach.
That's not my time, but it's amazing.
So I thought that was interesting.
But with the Bill Dobbins reworking of the Christmas Oratorio, I mean, that's something which is totally mad. And I adore it. And it's interesting. We have this spread that you put on toast in England called Marmite, which is a kind of a yeast extract. And I mention it because it's something which you either love or you hate. And I think that's the same of the Bill Dobbins Christmas Oratorio. It's like it's such a sacrosanct piece of work for so many people. You know, people just think you cannot touch Bach. I mean, not Bach at Christmas. But then other people absolutely adore it. It's, you know, for me, it's wonderful because it is that Marmite piece. It's polarizing. But it dares to do something with a piece of music that most people don't. And it doesn't pretend to be Bach. You know, I think what would be difficult is if it tried to pretend to be Bach. It obviously is not. People would pull it down very, very quickly. As it happens, it's Bill Dobbins, the conductor and writer-in-chief for the VDR, the WDR big band, so the Westdeutsche Rundfunk big band in Cologne, saying, I want to do something fun. Here's something fun. Take it or leave it, but we like it. And it's something we don't get to perform very often, but it's full of joy. And I think that's the most important thing. You know, if it was hard work and morose and detracted from the magic of Christmas and the kind of the beauty of the Christmas message, then I would find it more challenging. But actually, all it does is try to capture that in a different contemporary way, and I think that's to be celebrated.
Yeah, moments in Bach already to me are sort of jazzy, and then Stravinsky sometimes comes across. Early Stravinsky, Rite of Spring has these sort of elements, and so it to me it was very creative. And Bach's played on the saw these days, and marimbas and stuff that Bach would have never, you know, the Windy Carlos stuff that happens. And so to me, it was very creative.
Well, I agree with you on that. You know, if you listen to some of his more outrageous, harmonically outrageous chorales, I mean, they really are precursors to music that came afterwards, Reger and then on Stravinsky. And with the writing that built up instead. You know, for me, it just proves that music exists in a kind of a timeline. These aren't silos. It's not that one style of music owns something and therefore other musical styles can't use it too and kind of develop it. You know, the idea that, you know, you can't appropriate chords and things because the chords don't belong to anyone. Harmonies don't belong to anyone. So for me, it's a wonderful way of developing music from the past. And it's not to say that it's better. It's not to say that it's worse. It's just, it's new. And why not?
Johnny Howard speaking about a variety of styles on What's New. This is a live version of Bach's Christmas Oratorio arranged for a big band by Bill Dobbins. The King Singers joined the West German Radio Big Band in part 6 of the Christmas Oratorio on What's New.
Aber rief Herodes die Weisen heimlich und erlernet mit Fleiß von ihnen.
The final part of Johann Sebastian Bach's Christmas Oratorio with the West German Radio Big Band and the King Singers on What's New. It's from a live concert recording on Signum Classics. In 2013, the King Singers joined oboist Albrecht Mayr for a holiday album called Let It Snow. From that release, here's Evening Hymn by Engelbert Humperdinck on What's New. Engelbert Humperdinck's Evening Hymn from Hansel and Gretel with the King Singers. You can find out more on facebook.com/whatsnewwbaa, including playlists and podcasts. The King Singers were joined by oboist Albrecht Mayr. When we return, more of our conversation with Johnny Howard and the artistry of the King Singers on What's New. It's What's New. I'm your host, John Clare. Coming up, we'll hear a few versions of Richard Rodney Bidnett's music with the King Singers, but first, let's hear a witty song from Paul Drayton. The King Singers are featured in A Rough Guide to the Royal Succession on What's New.
A monarch stand in sturdy line, a chain that history forges, of Edwards, Richards, Williams, of Charles's, James's, George's. Some were bluff, wait and see. Just wait and see.
A Rough Guide to the Royal Succession by Paul Drayton on What's New. It's a 2012 release called Royal Rhymes and Rounds with the King Singers. Today, the ensemble travels worldwide for its performances, appearing in about 125 concerts each year. 2018 marks 50 years for the King Singers. For Valentine's, A Lover's Journey is a set of four pieces which chronicle the, quote, extraordinarily commonplace yet supremely elegant story of love and valentining. They're settings of three texts by William Shakespeare and on a text by James Joyce. Composer Libby Larson says, "This piece is my Valentine to the King Singers." The King Singers perform A Lover's Journey on What's New.
O bella bionda sei come nonna, bella bionda sei come nonna, bella bionda sei come nonna, bella bionda sei come.
What's New with Libby Larson's A Lover's Journey. We heard the King Singers who commissioned and premiered the work on February 14th, 2001. I'm your host, John Clare, and you can find out more on facebook.com/whatsnewWBAA. It's What's New, and I had a chance to speak with Johnny Howard from the King Singers.
Welcome back to Indiana. It's so nice to have the King Singers here. How is it, this is about your 10th year, Johnny, in the group. How is it you guys do such a wide repertoire? How is it to perform and return here?
I think one of the real joys of being in the King Singers is the variety of repertoire. And it's particularly good in a place like DePaul, where you have an audience that understands music today and also has a real appreciation for music from throughout the ages. So you really can showcase some amazing music from every musical genre, and people get it. Coming back here is a real joy. Coming to Greencastle is a drive through beautiful, beautiful countryside. It's untouched. And then you arrive here and there's absolutely everything you could want. This is a campus which I am very envious of. I went to university in Oxford in England, and beautiful though the buildings are, there are nothing like the facilities here. I mean, I've been to the gym every morning. Goodness, it's amazing. The canteen is amazing. This music school is extraordinary. It has so many amazing practice rooms. There's a Steinway or a Bösendorf piano in every single one. And I think we just feel very, very lucky to be able to use it to host our summer school this year. So it's great to come back.
Working with someone like Bob, who writes such incredible music and arranges things, and working with Eric Whitaker, does that inform it when you work with older music, with whether it's Bach or jazz arrangements of Bach that I quite enjoy for you guys? But does that sort of inform, I've heard from performers that sometimes working with a living composer that they may have written a certain phrase or, a certain note, and then when we look at Beethoven, we see this phrase and think, oh, this is the, Henley edition, I've got to sing this note this way. And then when you're with a living composer, they're like, oh, well, no, try it another way or whatnot. Does it inform your performance of older music?
Oh, it absolutely informs our performance of older music and how I personally interpret it. I think there's someone like Bob is brilliant because he is a man with such a strong education and understanding of the kind of the corpus of choral music, of corpus of music full stop. He gave a composition workshop last night and was explaining how he was influenced by Britten's instrumental writing and Byrd's polyphonic writing and how each of those things have played out in his music. And it's interesting with him, he's very precise about rhythm and note value, but how you interpret them is up to you really as a performer. What we believe as King Singers certainly is that you have to do whatever you need to do in order to make the music shine as brightly as possible. And sometimes that is maybe slightly going against the convention, slightly going against the establishment and saying, well, most people would say you'd sing this vowel like this, but actually I don't think that makes sense of the words. That most people would say that you follow the word stresses like this, but actually I don't believe that makes sense of the musical line. And I don't see any problem in that. This is an art, and different art means different things to different people. It's not a science, and so actually having someone like Bob who really, really understands the past but doesn't use it to absolutely restrict the present, I think is a really, really wonderful thing. And that certainly aids my thinking.
I was curious, 15 years ago or 20 years ago, would you have thought that you'd be touring internationally and teaching with the King Singers and being a member of this ensemble?
I think it's very funny. I grew up singing everywhere, but I'm the one King Singer who wasn't a boy chorister. I went to a German international school and I just sang in local community choirs, songs by Fred Astaire and Frank Sinatra and things like that. And I came to choral music really when I was in high school, and I was 15, maybe 16. And it was really by chance that I was recommended to apply to university to sing in a professional choir when I was there. And each of these kind of by chance steps, that then when I worked in an advertising agency just after I graduated, and while I was there, got a call inviting me to audition for the King Singers. And that sort of happened, and I'm now here. I never dreamt that I would be a singer at all, though I love singing. And I never dreamt that I'd travel as much as I do. It's very, very clear to me doing this job that travel and physical variety is, and the variety of locations in which I exist and work is super important to me. And it's very clear to me that in one capacity or another, I'm happiest when I'm performing, whether that's whether that's standing on a stage singing or whether that's being in public, giving a talk or teaching people and being the person at the front of the room. That is in no doubt in my mind. But no, I never imagined it would be with the King Singers. And it's quite extraordinary because it helps you to, you know, I had sung a huge amount of early music before I joined this group, but I hadn't really appreciated the genre as much as I should have done at all. And it's amazing now, doing what I do, how much more of that world and of so many other worlds has opened up to me and has kind of informed so much of how I live my life, really. So that, from that point of view as well, like the influences that inform my daily existence have changed so much because of what I do now, and that's really exciting. But I would never have envisaged that.
Well, Johnny, thanks so much. We hope we can get you guys back up to West Lafayette sometime for Purdue, and appreciate you talking to us today.
Thank you so much, John. It's lovely to talk to you.
Johnny Howard speaking on What's New. For their 25th anniversary, the King Singers commissioned several works, including Sermons and Devotions by Richard Rodney Bennett. The texts are by John Dunn and performed on What's New by the King Singers. Richard Rodney Bennett's Sermons and Devotions with the King Singers on What's New. That was recorded in 1992 after the 25th anniversary of the ensemble on RCA. In 2006, the King Singers re-recorded part of Bennett's work, Sermons and Devotions. Here's that version of The Seasons of His Mercies on What's New. A work by Richard Rodney Bennett from 1992 from a Signum release called Landscape and Time. We heard the King Singers' second version of The Seasons of His Mercy from the larger work Sermons and Devotions by Richard Rodney Bennett. You can find out more about What's New on facebook.com/whatsnewwbaa. What's New is a production of WBAA, a listener-supported broadcast service of Purdue University. Production assistance from Erica Yon and Kevin Howard. The executive producer is Greg Kostraba, and I'm your host and creator, John Clare. Thanks for listening to What's New.